What do you do when you suffer tech mishaps in the middle of a webinar? What do you do if you get the dreaded silence during a Q&A session? You asked, we answer. In this episode, we tackle those questions and more, all related to B2B webinars and how to succeed with them. Listen on to find out more. You're listening to the Content 10X podcast, where it's all about content repurposing. I'm Amy Woods, and I'm here to help you maximize your content and find smart ways to get your message in front of more of the right people, whilst also saving time. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the Content 10X podcast. I'm your host, Amy Woods, and this week, I am joined once again by Hayley Evans, my wonderful co-host on this series about webinars. So Hayley, welcome back to the podcast. It's great to be here again.
Love being on it. Thanks, Amy.
We're really looking forward to this episode because it continues on from the webinar series that we have been running. It's like a bonus episode. We said there'd be five, but it's actually a bonus six because we're going to be going through some of the key questions that we've been asked throughout this series. So if you haven't been following along, we've been digging deep into B2B webinars. It's been a really hot topic over on our other podcast, B2B Content Strategist. So we decided to really look into B2B webinars over here on the Content 10X podcast. So episodes 333 to 336 before this episode have all been about that. We've talked about the benefits of webinars. We did an episode on how to plan webinars and how to promote them, how to market them, and of course, how to repurpose and maximize and get the most from them. And soon we're going to have an interview with our friends over at Fidelity Investments to talk about how they handle webinars as well. So that's going to be really interesting, talking to an in-house marketing team about their view of webinars. But in this episode, we're going to be answering the top five most common webinar questions that are on topics that we've been covering through the series, but where we're just going a little bit deep on the things that we've been getting asked. And there were quite a lot to go through, weren't there, Hayley? So to whittle it down to these five, I think we've done quite well.
I think we've done pretty well. Yeah, we've been really happy to see that this series has just resonated with so many people and to hear all of your questions as well. So we're super, super happy. It was hard to pick really the top five, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But we got there. And I think with Lauren and Steve's episode too, hopefully that goes into a little bit more insight because I'm sure they're going to be answering a lot of the questions within that episode as well. But yeah, thank you to everybody who's put in a question. And before we jump into those questions, just a little reminder to everyone that's been following along. And if you're joining us brand new to the show, then as Amy mentioned, this is part of a mini series. So have a look at the previous episodes that we've put out. But we've also got our B2B webinar planning playbook, which is full of step-by-step guidance. There's a really useful checklist for planning and running B2B webinars. It's so great to be complimentary towards the series that we're doing. Just head to content10x.com/webinar-guide to grab it. And we've had some great feedback on this playbook. So again, thank you to everybody that sent a little note to us. So if anybody that you know or your team are doing webinars, grab a free copy, send it to a colleague, and we'll just make sure to pop the link in the show notes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Link in the show notes, content10x.com/webinar-guide. So you go grab that. So the first question, and for you, Hayley, going to put this over to you. And I think it's a fantastic question. What if the tech goes wrong? Because we talked a lot about what you can do to try and prevent the tech from going wrong. I think we quite comprehensively talked about rehearsals and checking and things like that. But let's face it, all the checks in the world, what if the tech goes wrong? So what do we think about that?
It's brilliant. I think we can do as many checks in the world, but tech always goes wrong. It's inevitable that at some point you are going to face a challenge that the tech will be going wrong. So the best thing to do is to be prepared for it to fail and know what contingencies you've got in place when it does fail, because it's better to go through every single avenue than to think it won't be happening, because I promise you it will do. And we've seen it with some of our great friends. And actually what I'm going to do is we're going to pop in a little note actually from our wonderful friend Megan McGinnon at Folio, who joined us on the B2B Content Strategist podcast, which is our sister podcast, where they actually had a quite interesting backroom stream that accidentally went live during their webinar. So if you want to catch the full episode, it's on our season 3, episode 12, but I will just pop the little clip in now for you to listen to.
I have one story about a mishap. It wasn't related to AI. It was pure old human error. So one thing I experienced recently, it was just moment of terror during a live webinar. So the backstory is we had an outside guest speaker. I was really excited to have him on the webinar. He graciously gave his time to join us. We were using a different platform for webinars, Zoom Events. Some might be more familiar with that tool. It's just a lot more powerful for live or hybrid virtual events. And we were testing it out to see if it would help us increase the production value of our webinars. But we're used to using the standard Zoom webinars tool. I've been using it for years. So Zoom Events has this feature called the backstage, which is great because you can have multiple people talking to each other backstage, not interfering with what's going on the live stream. So we really tried to test it. You know, let's test having everybody who's speaking move out of the backstage onto the webinar. And so I was confident we knew how to do it. But when we went live, both of our speakers were on the stage and there was no sound. And so finally I decided, okay, I'm going to have to exit the backstage. And then as soon as I exited the backstage, I realized that the audience had been able to hear them the whole time, but they thought that the audience couldn't hear them. So our presenters were pros. They recovered really fast and the rest of it was fine, but it was sheer panic for everyone.
So that was great. Wonderful from Megan. And it just goes to show they've run so many webinars before that these things tend to happen. So I guess answering the question in full of what happens when the tech goes wrong, I'll cover up a few bits. So the first thing, stay calm. Communicate with your audience. Don't just go silent. They're aware that there's a tech issue. They've probably been on plenty of webinars where they've had tech issues before. So just reassure them. We would definitely suggest where you can do have a co-host or a moderator. It's really useful. We've had situations where you don't know where, I don't know, an engineer might cut off the Wi-Fi in the middle of the street and you weren't aware of it. There's been situations which have happened before. So it's really useful to have a co-host who can just pick up as soon as something drops out. And they're great as a facilitator for the webinar itself. So they can just be a really great plan B. Have a holding slide to hand just in case anything happens, you've got something that can just go up. It just might be saying, oops, tech issues. Back in a moment. Whatever you want to pop up, just make sure that you've got a just in case. You can also switch devices. Sometimes we recommend to clients to log in on multiple devices, have one on your phone, have a laptop, just in case something cuts out. You've always got something on standby. It's also really good to print out your presentation notes. Again, if something happens or your internet freezes or the slides don't work, you can just run off of those rather than relying on kind of anything digital. Again, there's platform support tools as well. So it's worth, though, I would say with this, don't look for them at the moment the tech goes wrong. Have everything ready. So if you need to use a support tool, you know exactly where you're going to. You've got the website URL ready to set up and have it so it goes as smoothly as possible. Worst case, reschedule. You can totally reschedule. These issues happen regularly. Send like an apology. If this is a webinar that you've run before and you've already got a replay of it that you can send to any of the attendees, you could also do that. There's a lot of issues in terms of when tech can go wrong, but I would say the best thing that you could do is attend webinars, see what tech issues go wrong and play out every wrong case scenario and have a recovery report for what you will do when it goes wrong so that immediately you're not having to panic and think in the moment. You know exactly what plan A and plan B is and then you can recover straight away.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope that kind of covers all of the questions there.
That's excellent. I completely agree. Think of everything that could go wrong and have that mitigation and contingency in place. Yeah. Because like you said, all the best planning in the world, things can go wrong. And it's being calm and having a plan in place. Should that go wrong, playing through in your head. I love what you said there, Hayley, things from holding slides to a separate screen in case you lose the ability to share through to a co-host and the tech, different networks, things like that. Have that plan, every possible contingency. And also I think you said this, just being calm enough to call it out as well, rather than struggle through. If you're delivering a webinar from a home office and all of a sudden the gardener turns up and they can't hear you because of the noise or something, it's best to just call it out, isn't it? And say what's happening and deal with it or reschedule whatever, than struggle through, because everyone can see there's an issue. Don't struggle through, just say we're all human.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes they make the most memorable moments when things go wrong as well. Don't forget that that's really important too. We've all seen the kind of BBC clip where he's hosting and his kids run in and the mum runs in after the kids and things. But you remember that and actually utilize that to the degree. People find that kind of humility and just being human really resonates with them. And so actually there's an opportunity for kind of, in worst case scenario, actually additional connection in those points.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? If you have bloopers and mishaps, then you can repurpose them. So yeah, he can have a show reel of the bloopers and mishaps of this webinar series and have some comedy content. So it's always
Absolutely.
A content opportunity.
Mel Robbins does that at the end of every single episode that she has a blooper reel, and I love it. So Amy, I guess like tech is one thing and when it goes wrong, but if you have an issue, for example, why people aren't signing up, what do you do? When do you start to take action? And what action can you take for it?
Yeah, and I get how this is a really common question, because you've done all the marketing and maybe it's 4 weeks out or something, and potentially every day you're going and having a little look to see who's signed up, and you can start to get worried. It might be that you really do expect to have more signups by now, and it's now nearly a week and you wanted at least 50 people and there's only 12 that have signed up or something like that. So it's a really good question and a common issue. It can often be a symptom of maybe weak messaging that isn't resonating with the target audience for the webinar. So they don't see it as being useful and worth signing up and giving up their time. So maybe weak messaging or poor promotion, the content and the promotion related to the webinar just isn't getting in front of the right people as well. And so I think it's important to be, like I said, tracking the signups and having some target numbers in your timeline, thinking that by certain points in the run up to the webinar, you have an idea of how many people you would be hoping to be signing up, so that you know when those alarm bells are ringing and you have a clear idea of, if we don't get to hit these numbers, then these are some of the things that we could do to try and drive more signups. I'd really recommend going back and listening to our episode that we did on marketing and promoting a webinar as part of this series. So of course, we'll link to it. It's not always too late to do things like slightly tweak the messaging. If the first couple of weeks you haven't had many signups and it's now like a week or so until the webinar, you can revisit the title and the tagline, of course, and the messaging overall, and maybe speak to your audience, speak to some people that you are close to in your audience that you've noticed haven't signed up. Maybe people who regularly comment on LinkedIn posts and things like that, to send them a message and say, did you see that we were running this webinar? And actually, you know, I thought you may have signed up and I just wondered if there was something that made you think it might not be suitable for you. So remember, you can actually speak to people. It's not always one to many. It could be one to one. And so trying to get some feedback, looking at things that you can change as well, trying some A-B testing as well. So I think from the onset, having some A-B testing around things like the emails that you're sending out to your email marketing to try and drum interest in the webinar, that can be dead useful. Go all in on the one that is getting the most people in and no longer use the subject line that doesn't seem to be working, things like that. So of course, be doing that as well. And also, like sometimes what we've seen, certainly for ourselves, but also with our clients, is making sure that you're leaning in on the social proof side of things as well, in terms of who is involved in this webinar. So just check in, for example, if you are doing a webinar and you have industry experts, leaders, speakers who are involved, then making sure that you're shining a light on them, their audience and their credibility. And perhaps you need to get them to jump on camera and do a short video just saying, come and join me at this webinar as well. So I guess I'm suggesting additional marketing here, but maybe just looking at what part of the marketing funnel you didn't lean into in the original approach. And if it's a few weeks in and you're not getting the signups, maybe that's what you now need to lean into for the second part. So yeah, tough one, but you do have to take action. Have a point where you think, by this day, if it's not over this, these are the things we need to do. And I suppose it leans right what you were saying, Hayley, about if you have issues during the webinar, have the plan and the contingency. It's the same, isn't it? I suppose. Have the contingency. If we don't have signups at this date, we could do something different.
And I completely agree. And if you're expecting to have a certain amount of signups, if you've run webinars in the past and all of a sudden you see this ridiculous drop off in signups as well, there could also be tech issues too. It could be a broken link in an email. It could be a incorrect form fill that's broken. If you're using third-party tools, they break all the time. So it's worth just checking those too, because you might have had people who tried to sign up to the webinar who can't. So if you're, for example, expecting 30 signups within the first 2 weeks and you've got none or two or very low numbers, go to, again, the kind of plan to fail. Are we checking that something isn't going wrong in terms of the nurture sequence? Is there an error on kind of emails going out? Is there an error on the form fills or the automated calendar invites? All of those things are worth checking as well, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm so glad you made that point, because it can be, everything can be right in the tech messing you up. So yeah, 100%. The next question is really interesting and leads nicely on, because we talked a lot about how you run the webinar and we talked about engagement, but we wanted to dig into it a little bit more. So this is a great one for you, Hayley. So how do you get people to stay on the webinar, and how do you get them to engage? If it's a live webinar, of course, but how do you get them to stay? How do you get them to engage?
Yeah, this question came up time and time again, and it's understandable. Anybody who's hosting a webinar might feel a little bit worried if you've got a quiet audience, but don't panic. I think we need to always remember that sometimes that can make us as the host feel more awkward when actually the audience is really engaging. So a silent audience doesn't always equal disengagement. People might be listening intently, or they just might actually just be quiet in general and not be the sort of people that will step up and add to the conversation. And that's totally fine. But we understand that, you know, low interaction can be frustrating when it's a huge part of your webinar to interact with the audience, and drop off can be frustrating to see during the webinar. But I guess our tips would be for this is, first and foremost, make sure that you're keeping it really tight. So stick to the time limit that you've set, but make sure it's the pace as well. Within the first couple of minutes of opening that webinar, people are going to have that gut feeling of the pace that it's going to be going at, the value that they're going to be receiving. So open with that strong hook and open with that energy as well and that pace, and get people moving along. Front load all of the value. And this is something that we do in a lot of our podcast episodes as well, because a drop off rate from webinars and podcasts is very similar. If you want people to listen to the value, make sure that you don't save all the great stuff to the end. Put it at the front. Your people might have to drop out for certain reason, or they might not feel like the value is being added. So don't leave everything great for the end. Make sure it's right at the front, but also give people a reason to stay towards the end. So what we like to say to do is sharing that agenda up front, letting people know what's coming, and adding those points of, this is the value that you're going to get if you're going to stay on this webinar right until the end. Sometimes you can, if you want to start engaging with the audience, sometimes it's fun to run a poll within the first few minutes if you feel it's appropriate. It's just an icebreaker. Again, as we've said with kind of tech issues as well, just be human and try and get people to engage. People are really awkward in terms of the first person stepping up. So also, this is why we like having a co-host or a facilitator who kind of acts as an audience member, and then they can break the ice as such. And then maybe you could do a quick quiz. But one other thing as well is, we quite often say, if you really want to engage that audience and you have a very in-depth audience as such, you can also run like a would you rather scenario. Would you rather that we go deeper into subject A or subject B? And then have slides available for whichever subject that your audience wants. So again, that's giving an audience the reason to stay on longer. And again, if you're doing FAQs, one of the things, we've done FAQs so many times, Amy.
Yeah.
tell people well in advance on email, even before you're running the webinar, that FAQs are going to be coming, because then people can get prepared. It's hard to think on the spot when you're trying to receive all this education and value, to be thinking of questions immediately on the spot. sometimes people don't ask anything, and that's totally fine. In those situations, we do suggest actually you as a team will know your frequently asked questions, what questions your customers are asking, what questions people regularly get asked. Have those to hand. And again, have your facilitator or your co-host or another audience team member in the background asking those questions. Sometimes, again, one person asking a question encourages the rest of the audience to step up. And you could as well book a mystery guest for 5 minutes, tease that in the teasers as well, so people potentially know that something's going to be happening too. But I think most importantly, the things that like that we see as the issues for drop-off usually comes down to the energy and the pace. So first and foremost, keep up the great energy, keep up the pace, make it chapter style, make it storytelling, make it engaging. But again, don't confuse disengagement with disinterest, all right? Would you say, Amy?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think I'm thinking about for me personally and what you were saying about sharing the agenda at the start as well. People want to know where it's going. People want to be aware of what's included. If I join a webinar and they don't really share an agenda as such, I don't really know where it's going, especially if it's more of a presentation versus a panel discussion. They usually lose me because I don't know what I'm staying around for. Whereas if I have an agenda, I'm like, oh, great, really want to hear that bit towards the end and all of that. So I agree with everything, depending on the format, but having agendas and energy and everything, I think you answered that perfectly. Lots of great tips and advice within that.
Yeah, and just to follow that up, I really do think as well, we have to be mindful of how people are actually consuming this content. And quite often, we can all hold our hands up and say, like, when you're actually attending a webinar, quite often you might be dual tasking. So you might be working and listening to the webinar in the background, and there might be only specific sections of content that you'll be going to be really interested in consuming. And so that's why the agenda is really important for the webinar, to make sure when those points come up, that audience member can be like, oh, yeah, this one's from me.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So it's just kind of 101 best practice to get into that habit, isn't it? So I agree. Cool. The next question. Yeah. How to convert after the webinar is over? A very important question. And I guess I would say that you need to be really clear on what does convert mean for you as well. Where does this factor into the marketing funnel, so to speak? What do you want people to do as a result of attending this webinar? Are you wanting them to go on and book in a product demo, or are you wanting them to attend a sales call, or is there another more in-depth piece of content that if you can just get them along that road to that case study, or what is it? So what does conversion mean for you? I think is super important. It's not going to be the same for everyone, but again, I think we've said this a few times, but follow-ups is where the conversion happens. So you want to be able to segment your audience, and hopefully you can segment your audience in terms of who turned up, because you may be able to find a bit more additional information about them. But also, very much attendees versus no-shows. There will be people who sign up but don't attend. I'm a classic offender of that. I often sign up for webinars and I just want the replay and everything. To treat them both separately in the follow-up. People who attended, you're more going to be following up, providing them with another layer of information, but maybe going a little bit deeper onto things that were covered, and the messaging will be different. For the no-shows, you're going to want to share with them the content and what they missed and take a slightly different angle with them. So it's all about segmenting and doing a really good follow-up. Also, you can do things like obviously asking for feedback within the follow-up. And I guess just think of this webinar as a step in a conversation. And we keep saying this in this episode, but planning in advance, therefore, where that conversation is going based on whether they turned up or not and what other information you can get from them. But I would just like to just add one last thing to this answer, which is, it's not always a volume play as well. So when we're talking about having those email sequences and segmenting people and things like that, that obviously sounds very one-to-many, doesn't it? But don't forget just one-to-one as well. A lot of the B2B webinars, certainly with the clients that we work with, it's not a volume play. These are very niche webinars, of which we want people in very particular roles in types of organizations to come along and gain value. It's not always too hard to get a one-on-one follow-up with these people and booking calls and speak to them, or direct one-to-one emails asking them what they got from it and trying to move them further along in the direction that you want to move them in, or not if they're not right. So don't forget that as well. It's not as a volume play. And if it's not volume, you can turn off the automation and get very personal with the attendees as well. So I think that's super important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's as well really looking into the nurture sequence and like analytics as well afterwards. You might also be including multiple links within that. You might do the webinar replay on one. You might then follow up. Have a look into that as well, because again, the more personal that you can get with your audience, that's the personal touch that really adds to that conversion.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you on that. So another fantastic question. And the final question, how do you decide between gated and non-gated webinar content? So what are you thinking about that, Hayley?
Oh, it's the classic question, isn't it? And the answer's always evolving. There's arguments for both. Traditionally, we normally see webinars and the assets being gated, especially for B2B and lead generation. But I think we all can say that there is a massive shift. Most marketers tend to be choosing ungated content. The reason being is that we want to gain as little resistance as possible. And usually if it's harder for people to fill out forms, they might drop off. So what we want to do is just make sure people are actually getting that content rather than dropping off at any point. If your content is strong and genuinely helpful, you can build more trust sometimes by just giving it away freely. People we've seen are more likely to engage further with your brand if they've had a positive, no pressure experience. But we also appreciate that there's a kind of playoff between lead generation as well. So I guess in terms of how to decide, what I tend to look in terms of it is to think about both the content depth and the stage of the funnel that you're actually at. If you think about it in terms of if you're giving a lot of high value, strategic, specific content that's further up the funnel, I would suggest to do it gated. Those are the people who are potentially going to be conversions. So we want to see as much lead gen as possible within those. If it's lightweight, lower down the funnel, awareness level content, I'd likely stick to ungated, gain the trust, build that audience up. And then when they start to go further up the funnel, then put in the gated content. And again, like I mentioned, consider that objective. If it's lead generation, gate your content. If it's brand awareness, ungate your content. It's as simple as that. But again, like what I just wanted to touch upon again was in terms of resistance, please just be mindful that what we want to do is make the whole customer journey for this as resistance-free as possible. So look at those form fills. If there's anything that's not actually required, remove anything and try and make them only fill out one thing. If they don't want to, they shouldn't be filling out a form to download a webinar that they've already watched. Webinar replays should just be completely ungated for them. So yeah, I think that's it. Just keep it frictionless and decide in terms of the funnel and objectives of whether it's going to be gated or not.
Yeah, I completely agree. It is a big question to gate and ungate, and I completely agree with you. And I think people are experimenting a lot more at the moment with the ungated aspects, aren't they? I'm interested to hear more on that, but yeah, I think that's a perfect answer to that. So there you have it. There are five of the most common webinar questions that we've answered here, and I hope that we are just helping you feel a bit more prepared and a bit less overwhelmed if you are running B2B webinars or thinking of running B2B webinars.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, I've loved this second series, Running It With Yomi, and we've absolutely loved diving into everything B2B webinars. And as I mentioned, it's from the whole mini series, planning and promoting and repurposing, and now to answering your questions and a future exciting episode that's coming up as well. But I just wanted to say, if you've enjoyed this series and if there's a specific topic you'd like for us to explore further, whether it might be thought leadership or content repurposing or anything in between, if there's something that you've listened to on this podcast that sparks your interest, or even on our sister podcast, B2B Content Strategist, we'd love to hear from you. We've actually got a really new exciting mini series coming up, which I cannot wait to do. It's all about content strategy, something that I am beyond passionate about. So I'm really excited to share that one with you. But we're also soon going to be having an interview with our amazing clients over at Fidelity. Steve Jones and Lauren Franklin are going to share with us how important their webinars are to Fidelity and how to use them. You're going to gain so much information from this episode. We can't wait for you to hear it, how they started with one webinar series and they branched out into multiple and so much more. So yeah, listen, keep an eye out for that one coming out soon.
Yeah, that's going to be a fantastic episode. Absolutely. Can't wait for that one. So it's been absolutely fantastic. Do not forget about our B2B webinar planning playbook as well. We mentioned it at the start. It's free. It's just jam-packed full of really useful information. It's step-by-step guidance and really useful checklist for running a B2B webinar. Whether it's useful for you or somebody in your team, do go and grab that. So just go to content10x.com/webinar-guide, or just click the link in the show notes now if you are listening to this on a podcast app, or head to content10x.com/337 and you'll be able to get a link to it there as well. And also, it would be remiss of me not to say that if you want any help with webinars as well, if you want help with planning them, strategizing through to facilitating, and then the repurposing and maximizing them, then don't hesitate to get in touch with us here at Content 10X. That's what we do. So just head to our website, content10x.com, or indeed with any types of B2B content, from events to white papers to video podcasts, blog posts, you name it. We will support you with your content. Please do get in touch. We would love to chat with you.
Absolutely. And also, you can reach out to me and Amy on LinkedIn too, if you'd like to as well. Our DMs are always open for any questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we'll put links to both Hayley and I LinkedIn to connect with us, and say you listen to the show if you've got any questions on LinkedIn. So just head down to the link in the show notes. Thank you, Hayley. That's been fantastic. Like you were mentioning, I can't wait to dig into the content strategy series, but that's a wrap for the B2B webinar series. So yeah, thanks for being such a great co-host, and thank you to everyone listening as well.
Oh, it's been amazing. And yeah, can't wait for the next one. And say thanks everyone for listening.